Hello, 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 and welcome to another brand new program in Home and Away. I am Stella Zachariasen, your host for the next hour. As we are approaching December, we are well into winter, and it sure does feel like Christmas here in the islands. Here in the studio, we are warm and in great spirits. We've noticed that we have many new listeners and fans, and we are very grateful to you all. On today's program, I'll be interviewing the lovely Karina Dam from Greenland. She is here, so stay tuned, do not move. We'll be back with an inspiring talk show.
feel still trying to get up back.
Welcome back, guys. We just listened to What's Going On by Four Non Blondes. We are back in the studio, and I just want to welcome Karina, a warm welcome to you.
Thank you very much. I'm very glad to be here.
It's so wonderful that you could take some time, and I'm so excited for the program today because, you know, we don't hear so much. You are going to explain to us about Greenland and, you know, how you celebrate Christmas there, and we have so much to talk about. So, without further ado, why don't we start off by you telling us a bit about yourself?
About myself. Well, my name is Karina Sigardam. It's a little hard to pronounce, but yeah. And I actually came to the Faroe Islands, much like many other foreigners here. I actually married a Faroese. And I have three children, and they are 4, 6, and 8. I study. I'm taking a bachelor in education. I'm on the third year right now, and I also work a bit on the side on a school and in an elder home.
Home for the elderly. Yeah.
Home for the elderly. Yes.
Yes. That's interesting to hear. And of course, me and my husband, we happen to know your husband since he was little. So, you know, it's a pleasure to meet you and that you can come here and tell your story. Talk us through the time you came to Faroe Islands for the first time before we go to talk about Greenland and your, you know, childhood and the way that you grew up.
Well, I remember very clearly. When I first got here, and I was driving through the landscape. I mean, nature is all really great in Greenland, but the mountains here, they were covered in fog. I mean, like partially covered in fog and all the little waterfalls. It kind of seemed like something taken right out of a fairy tale. Mm-hmm. And then it was like a very romantic scenery, and I fell in love with it right away. And one of the first sightseeing things I actually got to do here was a trip to Vestmanna Bjørgene. Mm-hmm. And it was actually in pouring rain and thunder. And we got all the way into those caves, and the water was just dripping down everywhere. And I was so in love with the country by then. I mean, I was sold. I knew I had to come back. Mm-hmm. And I did.
You did. Oh, so when was it that you came for the first time here?
Oh, do you remember? When was that? I think it was in 2013.
Yes. So that's about, what, 9 years ago or something like that.
Yeah, something like
something
that.
Something like that. But although you were here in 2013, you actually didn't meet your husband here, did you?
No, I actually met him in Denmark, mm-hmm. because we were both studying there. And we actually met through a friend of mine who thought it would be a good idea to bring me to church. It was, how do you call it? Frikirke.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And I went. And at the same time, it was actually quite coincidental. Then they were needing some musicians, so they actually borrowed some from the next
area,
church, the sister
church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's actually how we met. So that.
And yeah. Johan played bass.
He played bass. Yes.
And you just fell for it.
Was
it love at first
sight?
Women
like musicians.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
I think that's quite universal.
That's true. I agree with you. So, yeah, you came and as you were telling about when you went to Vestmanna Mountains and inside the cave in pouring rain and thunder, that's like totally experiencing Faroe Islands in Faroese style.
Yeah.
And you fell in love with it.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts during your early days in Faroe Islands? Now you have, you know, you got married and you moved here. What were your thoughts of Faroe Islands when you finally came to live here?
Well, I was actually positively surprised because I am actually a mixture of Danish and Greenlandic. And whenever I'm in Greenland, I'm a Dane. And whenever I'm in Denmark, I'm an Inuit, and that's actually a quite difficult position to be in sometimes. But once I got to move here, I wasn't just one of those things. I just actually got to be me.
Wonderful.
And nobody really focused on where I was from or, you know, my origin was. That was lovely. And they still do. It's very nice.
That is so good to hear that you finally maybe got an identity to be yourself. Why don't we visit Greenland for a moment? How would you describe your country?
Oh, yeah, Greenland. I would say most people that has been there, they know how grand it looks. It's really majestic, and you're never more than a 10-minute walk away from nature. And that really does something to you. Whenever you need it, it's right there. Mm-hmm. And it's very calming, very soothing, and it's quite an uncomplicated way to live your life, actually. It's very
serene and peaceful.
It is. And everything is spontaneous, and no one ever makes schedules ahead of time or anything of that sort. Everything is just easy.
So people live in the moment.
Yes, they do.
And the weather, how would you describe the weather? Because, you know, when I was little, and I think it's like this for so many people, like when you hear about Greenland or when you study about Greenland, you think Greenland is green, Iceland is ice, but it's totally the opposite. So,
well, I would say many people are actually really surprised about how warm it can actually be in Greenland, because they think, oh yeah, it's so far up north, it's probably freezing cold. But no, we actually do have summers, and the summers are warmer than they are here in the Faroe Islands, because the climate is more dry.
Wow.
So it, yeah, a lot of people are not really aware of that.
No, that's why I'm asking, because that is a surprise, actually.
Yeah, it's actually quite lovely and warm and green as well in the summer.
Yeah.
It's just not during winter time.
No. Do you have long summers?
No, they're actually quite short.
Okay. And also, for example, here, you know, when it's summer, it's light throughout the day and night. How is it in Greenland when it's summer?
Well, it's actually even more so because it's further up north.
Wow.
So at some points, well, that depends on the city, really, because Greenland is so big. Mm-hmm. The longer north you get, the more sun you get during the summer. But that can actually be pretty hard to live with, because you can't actually sleep because everything is so bright.
That's true.
And then it's totally the opposite during wintertime, especially around Christmas. It's really dark. But that's why we use a lot of lights and Christmas lights and decorations, because we have to make up for that darkness because there's no sun.
True. And we know how children are here in Faroe Islands when it's summertime, when it's light. You know, it's hard to get them to sleep because they are like, it's not night yet. Did you experience that when you were little?
Well, my parents were actually quite strict about bedtimes and things like that. So we didn't really get to stay up all night just because it was light. But a lot of people do, and it's actually quite normal during summertime because you don't have to do anything at all anyway. You don't have school during summertime. But, well, my parents were, what can I say, quite ahead of their time, really. Okay. All this with raising kids and upbringing, they were quite modern in their ways. My father was actually one of the first men in the city to walk around with a stroller. And it was a baby pink stroller, I might add.
Oh.
Yeah. And no one else did that at that time. So they were quite strict about bedtimes, and we would have those blinders so you didn't get the light, so we could really properly settle down before going to bed.
So they were disciplined.
Yes, we were quite disciplined, but in a good way. I had a really great childhood.
Yeah, and talking about the childhood, tell us about some of your favorite moments there and about your family and your life back in Greenland since you were little and to the time that you came to Faroe Islands.
Well, I would say those memories that I have that are the most distinct, that I remember the best, I would probably say it's during summer times, because every other summer we would actually lie in tent all summer long with my grandparents and my parents, the whole family. It was actually like a little peninsula that we lived on, and we lie in tents here all summer long. And you know, like every time the tide would fall, then we could actually walk across and go to the mainland. Wow. And we actually had to go get water there because we had no water supply on the peninsula. But it was so lovely, even though it was quite heavy. I still remember the pain in my palms from carrying these big jugs mm-hmm. or buckets of water. But it was so delicious. I mean, the water. I never forget that.
Fresh.
And, yes. And on the same place where the in the shallows here, whenever there's this type of fish that comes in the summer.
Okay.
It's a capelin, some sort of capelin. They're like really tiny. And I remember I could go out with my waders on and I could just catch them with my hands, bare hands.
Really?
There were so many of them.
Yeah.
And you could just pick them up and put them in a bucket. And then we would dry them. Just like you dry fish here mm-hmm. in the Faroe Islands. It's quite the same. But the weather, as I said before, it's so dry that it does not get that fish kind of
like
thing.
Fermented.
It does mm-hmm. not get fermented because mm-hmm. it's too dry. They dry a lot faster than it does here. But I remember that you actually have this game where you have two of these little dry fish. They get very stiff, you know. You actually poke a hole in one and you... And you squeeze in another fish through it, and then you have to put it in your mouth, and you can't use your hands. It's just like the children's game with the string candy. And then you have to try to get it in your mouth as fast as possible and eat it, and then you win.
When it's
and
dried.
We would play that as kids, you know.
That's a healthy game.
That's a healthy game. Eating fish.
Definitely dried fish.
Better than candy.
Yeah, that's true. And it's very interesting to listen to stories like this because all the countries, they have different games, you know, that children were playing before we came into the world of internet. So it's very interesting to listen to. And who knows, you might teach your children one day that game.
Well, I actually taught some other things. I learned some other things here. My grandmother also taught me how to sew with little glass beads.
Aww.
And I'm actually trying to pass that on to my children. Sometimes when I sew with these Greenlandic glass beads, then they actually help me. But they're not really old enough to sew anything themselves. Mm-hmm. But at the moment, I have them sort the colors for me and then try to teach them how to pick the little beads up with a needle.
Yeah.
So they actually get that
technique,
movement technique in. And then hopefully when they're old enough, then they would know how to sew things out of beads as well.
That is one thing I was going to ask. I mean, honestly, with all the costumes in the world, I have never seen anything that is more beautiful because of the more beautiful than the Greenlandic costume because of the work that goes behind it. And I wanted to ask you, of course, it has all these beads and the thread works and everything, but how do they, like, when you wash it, is it hand wash or do you ever wash it? Or?
No, it actually, you don't wash it. It's kind of like wool sweaters.
Yeah.
You air them, mm-hmm. you don't wash them.
That's true. And do you have one of those?
Yes, I do actually have one, but it's actually at my parents' place in Denmark right now.
Okay.
Because my sister had to use it. She doesn't fit her own anymore. Yeah.
So it's beautiful.
But I'm actually intending to bring it because I want to use it when I graduate.
Yeah, that would be a sentimental thing. And maybe, who knows, do you know how to make it? And do you have one of those for your children?
Well, I would not know how to make all the skin parts and bits. My grandmother always used to do those parts. And I'm not really sure what kind of national clothing they would want to have.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should just probably get to choose for themselves what they would prefer.
Are there different kind of costumes?
Well, that depends on what part of the country you're from.
Yeah.
I'm from the west part, from Sisimiut, and I have the one with the very heavy big color of beading. I actually drew the pattern myself.
Wow.
My mom let me drew the pattern, and then she made the beads. it took her a year.
Yeah. I can imagine with all these tiny beads.
Yes, she had to guess how much I would grow until my confirmation so she could adjust the length. Because if she made it, you know, as too I short. Was the year before, then it would be too short. It actually has a very strict rule about exactly how long it should be.
Okay.
So, because it can't go over the elbows and it can't go too far up, then it would be too short. It would look weird. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
It's quite difficult.
It's beautiful costume. And the skin you are talking about, it's made out of seal skin, isn't it?
Yes, mostly, yeah.
Yeah. I can go on talk about the costumes, but let's move on. And it's interesting to hear about, you know, your childhood memories. And we are going to talk a bit more about Greenland because we are going to take a break and we are going to play Alicia Keys, This Girl Is On Fire. But before that, I just want to say, don't go away, because when we come back, we are going to talk about special traditions in Greenland and also how they celebrate Christmas in Greenland, because we are in Christmas time. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
She's just a girl and she's on fire, hotter than a fantasy, lonely like a highway. She's living in a world and it's on fire, filled with catastrophe, but she knows she can fly away. Oh, she got 4 feet on the ground and she's burning it down. Oh, she got her head in the clouds and she's not backing down. This girl is on fire. This girl is on fire.
Well, that was Alicia Keys. This girl is on fire. And Karina, she is on fire here in the studio. We are talking away. And she was just telling me about a story about her grandfather and a seal. Karina, do you want to share that story before we move on to special traditions in Greenland?
Yes, definitely. I would love to. Well, it was actually the first time I got to come along on a seal hunt, and you actually do it by boat, and it's incredibly difficult. I mean, anyone who has ever tried catching a seal with a rifle knows how difficult it actually is, because you have to anticipate how they behave in the water before you can actually catch one. And my grandfather, he was very good at it. I remember it very clearly, but by that time he had already done it for like decades. Mm. So he was so good at it. And the first time I was actually within the boat, and he caught one just as it took no time from when we saw the seals. It was like a pack of seals. And then we brought it back to this tent place where we used to stay all summer. And I actually got to help cutting it up.
Okay.
With this knife for...
Special knife.
Yeah, for women. It's called an ulu, and it's like a bit bowed. And I actually got to help and try to get all the fat away from the skin, because you actually have to... You use the skin for clothing. And it's actually quite difficult, but
I
did it, and I did not mess up the skin. That was very nice. And actually, the same skin was actually used for my national suit.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, at least that's what my grandma told me. I choose to believe her. So that was actually quite
Well, I can
fun.
Tell your grandmothers, they don't lie. So she is telling the truth, probably. But that's a very nice story, actually, and a good memory for you, isn't it? A special moment. Talking about special traditions in Greenland, do you have any?
Well, I would say one of the traditions for Christmas, that I miss the most, is it's probably the caroling, because no one carols here, not that I've seen. And I actually missed that part, because it was lovely, you know. You go together as families from door to door and sing for, the
people,
neighborhood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I just missed that. And yeah, it's
quite... You
know what?
That's true. I agree with you on that. And I also miss that very much. And for many years, not in the past 2-3 years, but for many years, I just gathered, my husband, children, and some young people, and we used to go to different houses and stand there and sing. But to my, I was so shocked, because there was no response. Usually when it's caroling.
Yeah, then people open the door,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, people open the door and they come out and they stand there and they enjoy. And in this...
they didn't know what to do with it.
Islands, yeah. They just looked through the window and just went away, and we were just standing there. But still, it was a special moment, especially when it's snowing, you know. But Karina, why don't we start that tradition here?
We could try.
We can try.
Yeah. But I don't think I would get any time practicing singing, because every time I try to sing at home, my children always come over to me and put their hand against my mouth and say, shh.
Oh, no.
Apparently, I'm very bad at singing.
It doesn't matter. You know, we need the Christmas spirit.
Yeah,
and let's
definitely
do it. We'll talk after the program about it. Any other Christmas tradition, any special Christmas traditions, or how do you celebrate Christmas there?
Well, I would say Christmases in Greenland are not really that much different from Christmases here, but it is from the same place, right? We got the tradition from the same place, which probably from Denmark. So that's probably why it's so alike.
Mm-hmm.
But some few things that we do differently is that we have a lot of snow, right, for mm-hmm. Christmas. So usually we would make big piles of snow outside our houses. And on the day of Christmas Eve, we would actually go out and dig a lot of holes in it and then put candles in them.
Oh, wow.
And then cover them up a bit so they wouldn't get blown out by the wind. And we would light them all before our guests would arrive for Christmas Eve.
That
and it would be like this
beautiful.
Magical welcome.
Oh, that sounds absolutely beautiful.
It was.
And it's a bit difficult to do because do you have just as much wind here like in Faroe Islands, you know?
No, I would say the weather is a lot more stable where I'm from.
Yeah. And what is, like, what would you have on Christmas Day? Of course.
That's the
dinner.
Thing. That's the thing that always shocks people. We actually eat reindeer for Christmas Eve.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and some people think it's a little peculiar because we eat Rudolph on Christmas Eve. What is that about? But we actually do, and it's the most delicious, tender meat you'll ever try, and I love it, and I miss it, and I have never had anything as good.
No, but I don't understand why that has to be strange because, you know, each country have different...
Yes, but it's Santa's
pet
reindeer. I mean,
I know.
That's a little weird, isn't it, for some?
Yes, and do you know that you can get reindeer meat here?
Yes.
Now in Faroe Islands.
Yeah. I could also get it when I was in Denmark. You just have to be a Greenlandic citizen and you get access to buy it.
Really?
Because random people are apparently not. Because there are some strict food rule regulations.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the meat that you, the reindeer meat that you get in Greenland, it's local. It's not imported.
Usually we catch it ourselves. Mm-hmm. Every year fall, then anyone who wants to participate really can apply for a permit to go shoot reindeer. Mm. And as it is right now, or... As it was last time I checked, there are too many reindeer compared to how much food there is. So,
okay.
Yeah. We sent the fathers away for hunting, and then they would be away for a few days, mm-hmm. and they would bring home as many reindeer as we could have in our freezer.
Yep.
And everybody in Greenland has these really big freezers where you can fit in like 2-3 entire reindeer.
And also I wanted to ask you about now talking about reindeers. Do you have, you know, you see in movies and you see in different documentaries the reindeer horn. Do you hang it up? You know, the, how do you say, is it the, do you call it the horns? Yeah.
Yeah, let's just call it, antlers.
Yeah.
Well, we actually use them for many things. Mm.
Make jewelries and things like that.
And sculptures. Mm-hmm. Like we have these really ugly, I would say, sculptures that you make out of both antlers and bone. And it's supposed to represent like some sort of evil spirit. And then if you have it in your house, it would protect your home
from evil.
From mm-hmm. evil, yes. So that's why it looks so scary.
Okay.
The more scary it looks, the more it can
scare away the evil.
Yes.
So that's interesting to hear about, you know, the special traditions and how you celebrate Christmas. And we are going to play a Greenlandic song that you chose. But before you tell us about the song, can I ask you, do you miss anything about your country, or what do you miss most about your country when you're living here?
Oh, yeah, that would definitely be the skiing. Because we used to do a lot of cross-country skiing as a kid, the entire family. And sometimes I actually dream about skiing. I mean, I wake up and I remember that I had this sensation of flying across the snow on my skis. And I really do miss that sometimes. Like a lot.
Yeah.
Especially around this time of year where I would ski a lot. So.
Yeah, and we were just talking about... it's been many years since you went to Greenland.
Many. And probably 10.
Yeah, 10. Yeah. And it is not easy because you always miss your home country. We all miss our home country from time to time. But we were also talking in the break about how expensive it is to fly to Greenland.
It is very expensive.
So
yeah,
that's a mystery. And I hope that one day it'll be not too expensive.
I hope so. I intend to bring my kids there so they can see where I'm from.
Definitely. That's very important. Before we go further about talking about your life here in Faroe Islands, you chose a Greenlandic song. Do you want to tell us about it?
Oh, yeah. It's from Qushlaq, and the song is called Aningaq. And it's actually one of those songs that I have listened to when I was a lot younger. It's a very old song. And it's one of those that I never stopped loving, one of those songs. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, let's hear it. And we have the live version of it, I think. Enjoying the music so much that I forgot that we are going on air. there. And time is running so quickly and we have so much to talk about. We are going to talk about your life here in Faroe Islands, Karina. But before that, you were telling me a scary story about Greenland.
Yeah, it's not just the good memories. I actually had... well, I actually went fishing with my dad once and my little sister, and we were just
in a boat.
Yeah, in a boat, not so far from shore, but we were just here and fishing. And then these killer whales just stopped by. I think there were like two big ones and one little one, and they were curious. They were trying to figure out what this boat was and trying to push it a little bit, you know. And it was actually pretty scary because they're so big, and the boat was, it wasn't really that big. They could just flip it over whenever they want, because they're capable of doing that. That's actually pretty scary. And my father was like, okay, what the hell? They're going to tip the boat over, and then they're going to tip it over, and there's nothing we can do about it. So we might as well have a feel and try and touch the whales while they were pushing the boat. So we actually did that. He would actually grab us and lean us over, and then we'd actually just, you know, just graze the whale and touch it. And it was amazing. I never forget it, but I still have nightmares about it.
Nightmares
once
about
in a while.
It.
Yes, it's actually pretty scary.
But imagine that you can tell your kids that you actually touched a killer whale. So that's a big story.
Well, I don't think I'm going to tell them that at the moment.
No,
because
no.
They have, nightmares once in a while already. I don't want to add to that. I actually didn't accidentally told them about the first time I saw bears, polar bears. Mm-hmm. And I actually, I was actually out skiing alone.
Okay.
Yeah. And I had to quickly stop and return. I've never run faster on skis than that time. Mm. But it's actually not so common. And bears, they come ashore in my town. So I was pretty scared. And they already have nightmares about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you do have good stories to tell to your grandchildren.
Yes,
you know,
definitely.
Amazing, real stories. Well, let's take us... do you mind taking us through your daily life here in Faroe Islands?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm actually quite the busy type because, as I said in the beginning, I'm taking a bachelor in education, and that's actually three times a week, but there's a lot of reading that goes into it as well, and writing assignments. I use a lot of time on that. And then I have two jobs next to it. And that's every Monday and Wednesday at the school that I'm working at. And sometimes I do take evening or weekend shifts at the elderly home.
Yeah.
So I'm actually quite busy when it comes to that.
I
think I count it above 60 hours a week.
Wow,
for
that sounds
studying
very
and
busy.
Going to school and working. But a lot of the studying I do in the evening once the kids go to sleep. So I actually do get to spend a lot of time with them. The days that I meet to school late, because it doesn't start until 9 and it finishes so early, then I have plenty of time
with
the kids.
Yeah.
And I actually do spend quite a lot of it with them.
That's good.
That's really lovely.
That's wonderful. They are
but
wonderful.
It takes me an hour to go pick them up.
Okay.
In the afternoon every day. But it's a very nice one. Nice hour.
Sounds like a busy life.
Yeah, it is a busy life.
What do you like most about Faroe Islands?
Oh, well. Oh, there's so many things. Mm. Well, there's a reason that I want to stay here forever. I have no intent to move back.
Okay.
There's just, I think all the little things also add up. The people are so nice. I mean, I never have any racist incidents, just like when I lived in Denmark. I have not experienced any as to now. And that's lovely. That's amazing. That really speaks for this country.
Yeah.
And...
I can say that I'm thinking that's also depending on your attitude, maybe, because you are maybe meeting people well and therefore they are meeting you well as well, isn't it?
Well, Probably, I hope so. I don't know. But I have a really good impression of being here, and everything is so much calmer and yeah.
And calmer and wonderful.
Yeah, I think I'm just comparing it to when I lived in Denmark, because when I come from a country that is so spontaneous and then I go to Denmark where everything has to be planned 2 months ahead, and both can be quite stressful, especially when you have children. You can't do everything spontaneously when you have children. And now I'm at this good middle point where everything is just nice and routine and lovely people and... I actually do have a lot of friends here now already, and it actually happened a lot faster than when I moved to Denmark. People are a lot easier to get to know here. That's actually very nice.
That's wonderful to hear. And I have two more questions, and we need to really take them quickly. Is there anything you find hard to understand or adjust to?
Well, generally, I'm not really much of a complainer, but if I would have to point on anything, then it would be the amount of food that you have to eat. And when I say have to eat, I mean it. Because every time you visit someone, like relatives, family, or the grandmother, then you have to eat like 4 or 5 times the amount of food that you can actually tolerate.
True.
And it's quite difficult, really. And I can't really get used to it.
Maybe you don't have to in these days. You can politely refuse.
I'm not a fan of overeating.
No.
No.
And it shouldn't be either. We shouldn't overeat. Any advice to other immigrants?
Oh, yeah. Well, there are a lot of very Faroese traditions here. And I actually get asked a lot why I bring my kids to all sorts of things here, just like catching whales. And I do bring them. I do bring them every time I have the opportunity so they can actually get to see it. I think people should participate more before they actually make an opinion about traditions here in the Faroe Islands. Because I'm definitely... Well, I definitely have that opinion that all sorts of pig stalls and chicken farms are a lot worse than what is actually happening here in the Faroe Islands. I'm much more against that. And I think sometimes people are just too quick to judge because, I don't know, I don't want my kids to think that meat grows in the fridge. I don't want that. Just like it happened to me when I was a kid, I learned how nature works, and I want my kids to experience the same thing. I think they should try and include themselves more, because that would actually help the understanding and understanding the traditions.
Thank you so much, Karina. The time has run out, and you've been wonderful in explaining. Actually, I enjoyed so much listening to, you know, the traditions that you have in Greenland and about Greenland. It's been wonderful talking to you and to get to know you a bit more. Thank you for taking your time to come to the studio to talk to us.
You asked ever so nicely. I couldn't say no.
That's wonderful. Wishing you all the best in everything you do. And to everyone out there listening, a big thank you. We would love to hear from you. So please send us a message through our Facebook page, Home and Away, or you can send a message to 559999. This program will be replayed tomorrow at 9 a.m. and the link will be posted afterwards. Next week, I'll be back with another guest. Until then, stay strong, be happy, and take care. I leave you with Johnny Cash singing Bridge Over Troubled Waters.
When you're weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I will dry them all. I'm on your side. Oh, when times get rough and friends just can't be found, like a bridge over troubled water, bridge over troubled water. I will lay me down. When you're down and out, when you're on the street, when evening falls so hard, I will comfort you, I'll take your part. When darkness comes and pain, silver girl, sail on by. Your time has come to shine. All your dreams are on their way. See how